I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start. Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 148. On this Monday, January 27th, 2025, Josh Calloway, James D. Jackson, Tom Green with you on a Monday. The saga is over. Jim Knowles' decision made apparent, made public. Over the weekend, it's not Oklahoma. We will wrap it up as where Oklahoma goes from here, as they still are without a defensive coordinator. We'll, of course, continue our position stat report series as well today. We got to do the tight ends. Interesting convo there, I believe, probably on the way. And, of course, as always, Mondays, we will recap the weekends that were for both men's and women's basketball, both getting big wins over the weekend that were needed for those two teams. We'll get to that later on. But, gentlemen, let's start where we have to start, rip the Band-Aid off with Jim Knowles. Obviously, the biggest story in OU football of the last couple of weeks, became really the biggest story in college football over the weekend. We talked about it at length the last several shows, the possibility that Ohio State defensive coordinator Jim Knowles could flip to Oklahoma. We felt like after the national championship game on Monday is when this was going to accelerate. Obviously, that's how it ended up unfolding, but it's not Oklahoma. He is going to Penn State, Pennsylvania native. He's going to the Nittany Lions. He's going to stay in the Big Ten. He's going to be the highest paid assistant coach in college football, a salary north of $3 million per reports. Gentlemen, I guess reaction here. I mean, we always knew it was going to take a big swing. Oklahoma always felt they had a shot, and they did have a shot, but in the end, they don't get him. And a month tomorrow from when Zach Alley left, December 28th, is when he left, tomorrow, January 28th. Oklahoma still does not have a defensive coordinator. Thoughts on all of this as we kind of wrap up this saga with Jim Knowles?
Yeah, I think, you know, landing Jim Knowles would have undoubtedly been a home run for Oklahoma, but it also is a luxury that Oklahoma didn't necessarily need.
Sure.
You know, when the top defensive coordinator in college football reaches out and expresses his interest in your opening, you take your shot. You have to do that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you still have Brent Venables, who is one of the best defensive minds of the last, you know, quarter century in college football. So I don't think it's full panic mode, especially when you look at, you know, what Oklahoma's bringing back. But you do need to move. You need to bring someone in. It has been a month almost since Zach Alley left. Winter workouts are underway. The spring semester's, 2 weeks in already. Spring practices are going to be here before you know it. You need somebody in there, especially because, you do not have a linebackers coach right now either. That's the other thing. So it's interesting how it all played out. It's clear, I guess, that, Jim Knowles was looking to get out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
There was clearly a disconnect there somewhere in the program, even though he had immense success and turned that defense, from a okay defense into the best defense in college football in a matter of 3 years. But is it a huge loss for Oklahoma? No. Does it kind of suck for them that they missed out on a guy who, clearly had some interest? Yeah, it sucks a little bit. But at the end of the day, you still have Brent Venables. You still have a veteran defense with really good parts at all three levels that you should feel good about. It's not like this is going to be a debilitating loss for Oklahoma by any means. It's just a luxury that they, took a shot at.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was the sentiment when Zach Alley decided to leave in the first place. It was like, well, you still got Brent Venables if all those fails. You still got somebody that can do that can call a game at a high standard. And I guess one of the other guys that could do it at that level or just it may even better was Jim Knowles. And so, like you said, you had to go after him when the rumors kind of started happening here. Like he was trying to come over maybe for family reasons and things like that. So you take a swing at it. No biggie there. So like now all you can kind of go back and try to find the guy that maybe they want to really go after, I guess, in terms of, keeping some of the responsibilities off of Brent Venables. I think that's still a priority for this coaching staff and Brent Venables himself. So we'll see what they got coming up next. Now, we are hearing, some rumors like that. I know Tom is going to get into that. So we'll see, some of those guys that OU is going after now.
Yeah, it's certainly disappointing. He's the best defense coordinator in the sport. So obviously it's disappointing. And that's when you say it's a big loss and you have to kind of walk the tightrope. It's a big loss in that regard. Okay. He's obviously very good at what he does. That's where the loss comes. The loss does not, but it's not end of the world for Oklahoma, obviously. Brent Venables is still one of the best defensive minds the sport has to offer. And, there's a lot of reasons of for OU football, structurally, team, whatever, to be upset and to be worrisome. I don't think not getting Jim Knowles falls under that umbrella. In my opinion, this is just not something you ever should have been able to do. You know what I mean? Like Oklahoma swinging the defensive coordinator, the best in the sport, from Ohio State, another blue blood, not like some lower level. I mean, someone who's on Oklahoma's tier, certainly, in Ohio State, who just won national title with – things in Oklahoma certainly being shaky right now, the future being somewhat up in the air. Like, that's not something you're supposed to be able to do. So, I refuse to kind of look at them not getting him as some massive failure. I can't bring myself to do that. Again, it's disappointing. You would have liked to have done it. But, they offered him a lot of money. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but it's not far off what Penn State offered him. And he didn't come. He didn't choose to come. I don't know what else Oklahoma could have really done to make this happen. You took your shot and he elected to go to Penn State. And I kind of talked about it last week with Colin. I mentioned it a couple other times. At the end of the day, it was always going to come down to just what Jim decided to do. And I know that's obvious, but you can't get inside his brain to know what he wanted above all. Maybe he wanted to go back to his home state above all. Maybe it was just strictly highest bidder. Maybe he wanted to stay in the Big Ten. You don't know what he valued. So, there are a lot of reasons to kind of knock OU football right now. I don't know if not pulling this off is really one of them in my view. Do you guys want to speculate on where they go from here? Obviously, again, we've talked about Tor Blue in the face. They could keep it in-house. There's a couple of obvious options there. Brandon Hall is a popular name. Todd Bates, I think, probably is in that conversation too. Wes Goodwin's still floating around. Other names, feel free. Jump in as far as where Oklahoma can kind of go from here. It feels like at the end of the day, Brent Venables probably going to still end up calling the defense himself. Maybe not, though, if the right candidate becomes available. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think no matter what, Brent Venables is going to be very involved defensively now. If you had landed a Jim Knowles, I think that would have afforded Brent a chance to kind of take a step back a little bit and kind of hand the keys over of his defense. I mean, they run kind of similar systems, but there are obviously differences. They both run a 4-2-5 base, all that. But yeah, I think there's a few possibilities there. You know, you mentioned, you know, if they stay in house, I think Brandon Hall is a very popular name. Wes Goodwin is a name that we've kind of been monitoring from the beginning. I don't know if he'll be the defense coordinator, but I do think that, you know, it would not be a surprise at all to see him on this staff in some capacity. You know, he was obviously an analyst at Clemson under Brent Venables. He's very familiar with him. They have a, you know, good working relationship there. A guy that Brent obviously trusts, kind of in a similar vein to Zach Alley, in that sense. And then there's a name that, you know, has come out the last few days from a few different reports, and we've been asked about him too. I know Toby Rowland discussed it last night. I know the guys over at Sooner Scoop discussed him as well. But Nate Dreiling, who earlier this month was named the defensive coordinator at Arkansas State. You know, he's 34 years old, so he's another young guy. I believe a year ago he was on the AFCA 35 under 35 list. So he's a guy that's obviously kind of viewed as an up-and-comer. He's got 3 years of experience as a defensive coordinator, two of those at New Mexico State, or, you know, I should say a defense coordinator at the FBS level, two of those at New Mexico State in 2022 and 23. Last year, he was a defense coordinator at Utah State before taking over as interim head coach. So he's got some experience under his belt, a younger guy who's a linebacker by trade, you know, played linebacker in college, and, you know, has coached linebackers in his career. And then, you know, he's a Kansas guy too, like Brent. He grew up in Kansas, so there's a little bit of a tie there. You know, I think it'll be kind of interesting to monitor if they go outside, and, you know, that's a name to kind of look at. But again, he's a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of experience. So if they were to go that route, I would expect Brent to be very involved defensively still.
If you ask me who I would rather see, I mean, I think if Brent Venables is going to have to call plays or be involved in some capacity anyway, I think you should go after the best available recruiter, I guess, in that sense. Somebody that can bring in the best guys at this point in time. If you're going to call plays, have some of that load be taken off in that, you know, that area. You know, if you go in-house with, you know, Todd Bates or Brandon Hall, I mean, you still gotta get a linebackers coach anyway. So there's still gonna be a more hires to come with that. So I think if you go out and get somebody, you want to get the best recruiter in terms of just taking something off your plate. If you're gonna have to call plays, take something off your plate and go from there.
No, that's a good point. I mean, what are they gonna look for? What are they gonna value? You know, because I mean, someone that Brent Venables is gonna trust to run the defense, I don't know if that exists. Right. You know, Jim Knowles was one of the few, you know, that would fall under that umbrella, because we've talked about it all season. You know, Oklahoma is not good on the margin. So the theory or the thought process is you get someone who can – Brent can put more of the load on the defense, something that Zach Alley was becoming, and he can, you know, become a better head coach, frankly. That's where you're worried if Brent has to call the defense. I mean, everybody knows Brent Venables can call the defense. I mean, again, he's – before he became the head coach of Oklahoma, widely considered the best defensive coordinator in the sport before then. So, like, that's not a concern. The concern is it going to affect other areas if Brent has to put so much more time into the defensive game planning and all that, and again, calling in on Saturdays, things like that. So we'll see what they are looking for, what they value, and we'll keep an eye on it. But it's kind of crazy because, I mean, again, the circumstances dictate it, because you're waiting on Jim Knowles, and Ohio State kept winning games all the way to the national championship game. But I don't think anyone would have guessed when Zach Alley left on Saturday, December 28th, that we'd still be sitting here almost a full month later, and they would not have replaced them. It's kind of crazy. Now, it hasn't really hurt them, at least, you know, from an outside perspective. I mean, they obviously made some good players in the portal. They retained everyone on defense. We talked about that. But like Tom said, I mean, it's winter workouts are off and running. Spring ball's coming up. Like, you need someone. You need to get that stabilized and go from there. So,
yeah. I do think that there's one other small thing worth noting, and in the grand scheme, it's not a huge thing, but there is a, you know, scheduled Board of Regents meeting at the end of this week. So if they were to get a hire in place, you know, in the next couple of days, that's something that would be on the agenda, and they can get that contract finalized. Or otherwise, they'd have to wait, I think, until the March meeting to get that wrapped up. I mean, look, they'll make the hire when they're ready to make the hire. Like, the Board of Regents meeting isn't going to dictate when they make the hire. It's just a little you know, kind of an accounting thing to monitor.
For sure. So it's over. Jim Knowles saga over. DC search rolls on, but the Jim Knowles part is over. That was a fun 2 weeks, and we move on. All right, let's do our position stash report series. So we've been doing this every Monday. You have them with us. They're evergreen. They're not going anywhere on the shows the last few weeks. We take a position. We break it down, kind of a state of the union for that group obviously here in the middle of winter workouts, getting ready to go into spring ball in about a month and a half from now. We do one every Monday. We've done quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Let's do tight ends today. This position is had a lot of discourse, really all season, but especially since the end of the season. Oklahoma's two primary contributors at that spot, Bauer Sharp, Jake Roberts, are both gone. Bauer Sharp transferred to LSU. Jake Roberts, of course, his career came to an end as he graduated. Jojon Finley still coaching this group. I think everyone thought at the end of the year, Jojon Finley probably would and Oklahoma would probably go their separate ways. Obviously, Jojon was the co-OC with Seth Luttrell. Seth got let go in the middle of the season. Jojon took over as the play caller. It just kind of seemed like it would make sense for Jojon to maybe find another OC job or whatever. That didn't happen. I mean, Jojon is still around. He's still coaching tight ends. They've made three transfer portal pickups, all from a lower level, all with basically no production in terms of catching passes. You bring Devon Mitchell back, the five-star that everyone is hoping can be the savior, basically. Caden Helms, Kay McIntyre as well. Guys, this position is in a weird place. We've talked about it a couple times when they've picked up the guys they have. Your guys' overall kind of assessment of this position right now, it just feels like it's not – I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's hard to really know what the plan is, and we'll see how it shakes out when the games start. But you're kind of looking at this group saying, okay, who's going to step up and be the guy here? It's in a interesting spot, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a position that I'm kind of wary of coming into the season, especially when you compare to what we kind of thought last year. Because mm-hmm. This time a year ago, like they brought in Jake Roberts, who were like, okay, he has a history with Seth Luttrell. He's got some familiarity with that offense and some production, both at North Texas and at Baylor. So we thought that there was, you know, some proven production coming in there. We'd heard really good things about Bauer Sharp and, you know, how a lot of, you know, high-end programs kind of valued him even as an FCS transfer. And we thought mm-hmm. that could translate well, especially after, you know, kind of what we saw in the spring, kind of carrying over. So I think there was a little bit more optimism there. And then obviously, you know, everybody thought really highly of Devon Mitchell coming in. He wound up, you know, redshirting the season and not playing. And then you look at kind of what they brought in this year and, look, I don't know what's going to happen with this position. Caden Helms is probably your most proven guy right now, and he's been injured most of his career. But yeah. I think if he can stay healthy, he can be a good pass catcher. I think you're kind of banking on Devon Mitchell going from a guy who did not play at all last season and kind of just maturing into, you know, what they thought he could be as a four-star guy coming in after reclassifying. Obviously, he was still developing, should have been a high school senior last year. But you look at the transfers and it's like Carson Kent's your most proven guy. He's coming from Kennesaw State, a program that was making the transition from FCS to FBS. I know he was a second team all-conference guy last year, but I mean, it doesn't jump off the charts at you when you look at his production. Neither do, you know, John Locke or Will Huggins. I mean, you know, Will Huggins was at Pittsburgh State. John Locke caught one pass for 2 yards at Louisiana Tech last year. It's just kind of a head scratcher right now. I'm curious to see what direction they're going to go, but I do not have a whole lot of confidence that this position is going to be a strength of the offense right now.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. They're not going to be the strength of the offense. I think we can all see that now, just the way they look on paper. I mean, this is a group we've kind of been weary on for quite some time. And when we didn't see Devon Mitchell in the bowl game, that, you know, kind of made our questionings happen even more, because that's something you expect. Maybe after a full year of developing in Oklahoma's program and things like that, you would think that a four-star would get to the point where he could be usable, especially in the bowl game and things like that. But I guess, you know, to play devil's advocate, maybe they just wanted to give, the older guys their last run with OU. And, you know, we talked about that quite some time. So really just want to see what this group does, because I don't really have high hopes for them right now. Like I'm very low on this group. This is probably the lowest on the team, I think, overall. Like we just haven't seen it from them. And then this group on paper doesn't look any better than the last group. And so I just wouldn't get your hopes up about them, really. That's really where I'm at with them.
I don't know who tight end one is. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. No clue. I mean, place your bets. I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, it would be Devon Mitchell. But as you talked about, and again, Devon was a true freshman who reclassified. So yes. The fact that he didn't come in and contribute in the SEC right away, I don't think is that jarring. But to James' point, didn't play in the bowl game, which again remains insane to me. You still lost the game too. It's not like, oh, look at me. Like you still lost to Navy. Like it wouldn't hurt at all to at least get the guy some run. That seems like you're asking a lot for him to step to now go from not playing at all to your starting tight end in the SEC. Maybe he can do it. And we all think he's a freak. I mean, you're hoping, but that seems like asking a lot. You know, can Caden Helm stay healthy? Cade McIntyre is a guy who maybe showed some flashes here and there, but then these three guys they added, you know, like Tom's, you know, illustrated, they haven't had any production in the pass catching. They might be able to block, which is nice, and you could use that certainly help you in the run game, whatever. But you need someone to catch passes, you know, and that's an element that's been missing the last couple of years. And I don't know if it's going to be rectified, you know, this season. I think of last summer, you know, I did summer school with Bud Elliott, and I think he asked me something to the effect of, like, what position has gotten the biggest improvement. I think tight ends came up because it seemed like, you know, Bauer Sharp coming in. And look, we talked about it all year. Bauer Sharp did some night. He was their leading receiver. I mean, like, yeah, he did some okay things in the passing game. But when they started asking him to just be the offense, that's when it got squirrely on him because they were asking him to do things he just simply wasn't capable of doing. And Jake Roberts was a solid addition, but obviously was never going to be a guy who was going to come in and be all SEC or something. So I don't know. I agree completely. This group has got a lot to prove, and we'll see. I don't know. Maybe you can find – we've already added three. I was going to say maybe you can add another one in the post-spring, but like you've already added three. Like how many tight ends are you going to have on this roster?
Yeah.
You know, Trenae Washington comes in from Carl Albert. Maybe he can surprise. I don't know. It's up for grabs, though. If you're in that room, it is up for grabs to go – do something. So I agree. Any final thoughts? I agree with James.
I mean,
probably this is the shakiest position on the roster right now, as far as just confidence.
Yeah. I mean, one of the players we saw was with Evan Carrion. Like there was some talk of maybe him being a tight end when he got recruited the first time. Like he was like
an in the middle, huge.
Cause he's so big. Yeah. So like, is that a plan? You know, maybe he comes in and maybe tries to help out there with the H-backs and things like that, because you mentioned Trine, he's kind of like, you know, a similar size and things like that with, you know, his body frame. So maybe that's another option to go to. Nothing to look forward to. I don't know, because as of right now, it looks like a bunch of blocking tight ends in this unit. And so we'll see, I guess.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to bet right now, I mean, I think my favorite to start, if I were to put odds on it, would probably be Caden Helms if he can stay healthy. I think Devon Mitchell and Carson Kent are probably right there. I think it's going to be certainly one of the most – you know, positions we look the most at and keep an eye on the most during spring practices and kind of see how that evolves, especially with Ben Arbuckle coming in and how he uses that position in his offense. I think it's something that we're all going to kind of keep an eye on in the coming months.
Yeah, I do agree. And it's a good point that assuming he is himself, I do think Caden Helms can be a legitimate guy for you. But, you know, injuries have been, you know, an issue for him. And we only saw him a little bit this past year. Is he gonna be himself? That guy that we thought he could be, and we saw glimmers of. I think of like the Nebraska game his first year. Like he had moments. Can he be that after, you know, the obviously the injuries and everything like that? If he can be like the guy, that could be an actual guy for you. I don't know. We'll see. Could be an interesting position to watch during spring. See if any of these guys can make an impression, and we'll see. Get a good look at Devon Mitchell and Caden Helms. I do think Cade McIntyre can be a really good player too. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. It's definitely a big question mark of a position group, though, right now. No doubt about that. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start. Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Let's do some basketball here on the back half. We'll start the men. Tom, they had the week off after South Carolina, and you know, you go into Fayetteville and it felt like this is a game that, with the way the schedule plays out, if you're going to get serious about making the tournament, this is probably one you need to find a way to get, and they got it. I mean, they found a way, pivotal road win over the Razorbacks on Saturday night. It wasn't always pretty by any means, but they just kind of gutted this one out, you know, down the stretch. Showed something. I mean, who knows what's going to be long term, but they showed something. They showed some fight and, again, some kind of mental toughness, I thought, in this game. And this was a huge win for Porter Moses Group. They really needed it. Two wins in a row, maybe a little bit of momentum starting to build, maybe. Your thoughts on this game on Saturday night? This was sorely needed. This was, you know, one of the more important wins, at least in recent, you know, last year or two. They needed this, and they win, they got it.
Yeah, I mean, A, it's their first true road win of the season, so that's big. B, it's another quad one win. They got four of those now, so you stack as many of those as you can. You got a bunch more left in SEC play. And, you know, it's your second consecutive win, so you feel like you're kind of generating a little bit. But, you know, like you said, this is a game that they felt they needed to win, you know, especially coming off the bye week. And, you know, they almost squandered a golden opportunity. You know, they were up 13 with 4 minutes to play in the first half.
Yeah.
And then we're down six midway through the second half. But I found it really interesting. You know, we've heard Porter Moser, you know, really since the start of SEC play, talk a lot about making winning plays and making enough winning plays. And during that four-game losing streak, Oklahoma just wasn't making those plays that, you know, can, you know, come in the margins and make a difference. You know, we saw some lackadaisical play, you know, guys not diving for balls, guys not making that extra effort, that hustle. Down the stretch against Arkansas, they made those plays.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, Mo Agi forced a couple of turnovers, you know, on ball playing out on the perimeter. You know, he had that one steal at half court where he kind of just poked it out to Glenn Taylor, who pushed it ahead to Jeremiah Fears for a wide open layup late in the game. You know, Luke Northweather airballed a three-pointer and Jeremiah Fears leaps for the ball to save it from going out of bounds, and somehow it ends up in the hands of Glenn Taylor for a layup. Obviously, that defensive stop with 14 seconds left, where it was Glenn Taylor and I think Duke Miles, you know, forcing Jonell Davis down the baseline and just forcing that turnover, and Jalen Moore getting the dunk essentially as time expires to seal that game. I mean, they made the plays that made the difference down the stretch, which is something that this team lacked during those first couple weeks of SEC play. You know, I think we saw those a little bit more, you know, in that second half against Texas. And that really feels like it was almost a turning point for the team this season. I mean, we'll see how they carry it over. But, you know, after falling behind big against Texas those last 17 minutes, you know, they've played really good basketball for the most part for the last, what, 60 minutes almost 2.5 games, just about.
Yeah.
Like you said, it wasn't always pretty. They didn't make a jump shot in the second half against Arkansas. All their made baskets were layups and dunks.
That's incredible.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. They shot really well at the free throw line down the stretch. They got back in the game after being down 6. Luke Northweather gets fouled on a 3-pointer late in the shot clock, makes all 3 free throws. Jeremiah Fears takes a deep 3 that, perhaps ill-advised at that point in the game, and where the shot clock was and where he was on the court, but he gets fouled and makes all 3, and they tie it back up and they just get back in it. And they had 10-11 lead changes, or 10-11 ties down the stretch, and 5 lead changes. It was a hard-fought game in a hostile environment. Arkansas had 19,000 plus people there. It's not an easy place to win, Bud Walton Arena, and Oklahoma came out with a victory that they needed. So it's obviously something to build on. Another big opportunity coming, Tuesday night at Texas A&M. They played Texas A&M tough that first game, even though Wade Taylor was out. We'll see how they kind of handle that environment on the road. But again, it's another opportunity for a quad one win, another opportunity to improve your NCAA tournament resume.
No doubt. I mean, the defense in the last minute, those last couple stops, really impressive. And just like you kind of – I think everyone, when Arkansas went up 6 in the second half, kind of felt like, that's probably – we can see how this is going. For them to battle back was really impressive. They did a really good job just kind of sticking with it. Jeremiah Fears has been better. I don't think that's coincidental at all. In his last 2 wins, Jeremiah Fears is playing better. He led them in scoring on Saturday night. I mean, he looks more comfortable. He looks like he's getting that confidence back a little bit. They need him. I mean, they just flat out need him to be a guy, or the guy at least, him and Jalen Moore, however they want to balance that out. But that's what you have to have. And kind of like I said off the top, like you look at the way the schedule is, because you lost a couple home games that you wish you could have back, that A&M game had the big lead, in the Texas game, you had to find a way to win on the road. You have to. You can't just go through the entire thing losing all your road games. And the rest of the road schedule is rough. I mean, they got to go to College Station tomorrow. They go still to Auburn. That's not probably going to go well. They got to go to Missouri. They got to go to Florida. I mean, they got to go to Ole Miss. The road games are really, really tough. So if you're going to get one, this was probably your chance to get one. And they went and they did it. So big win. I think they've bought themselves a little bit of, cushion-ish. I mean, they're 2-4, but going into tomorrow, I don't feel like if they had lost this game, basically you're at the point of, if they don't win in College Station, I think it's borderline over. But They bought themselves a little buffer. You don't have to necessarily win tomorrow. It'd be great. I think they could win tomorrow. They'll give A&M a game, I think. But you don't have to. You do have to win on Saturday at home against Vanderbilt. That's a must win. You got to win the rest of your home games, basically, with maybe an exception one or here and there. They got Tennessee coming. They got some big home games, but this was huge. This game created a path for you. You can kind of see it forward where they can get enough wins to get to the tournament. Whereas if they lost it was kind of hard to see. So good game, big win.
And you mentioned Jeremiah Fears, obviously the last 3 games, really, it seems like he's turned a corner, but especially during these last 2 wins, it's not only that he's scoring well again. I think his assist to turnover ratio in these 2 wins is 11-3. That's what you want from your point guard. Obviously, Jeremiah Fears is very talented. He's a really good scorer. He can get to the basket. He can knock down some really good mid-range jump shots off the dribble. But when he's facilitating and getting some of these other guys involved, that's when this Oklahoma team can kind of take a next step forward and be an NCAA tournament team.
No doubt. Big win. Had to have it at Texas A&M Tuesday night and then back home Saturday against Vanderbilt. Tom Lyon, of course, will be there for that one. James, the women, meanwhile, also had a week off after that South Carolina game, which we talked about last week. Didn't go well, obviously. They had to sit on it for a week as they didn't play again until yesterday. They took their frustrations out on Georgia, just destroyed them. The game was never competitive. This game was during NFL yesterday. I had it on my computer off to the side, and it just kept getting worse. I mean, they won by 31, and it felt like it could have been more. This was an easy win for Oklahoma over Georgia, which you needed. They have a huge week ahead. But this was the definition of a get-right game, obviously, at home. Georgia's not very good, below 500. And they did what they should do, a blowout win. And now some more big tests come. But this was, I think, good to see them come out and just take care of business from the start on Sunday against Georgia. Right.
Yeah, and we're recording this podcast a little early just for basketball reasons. So we just learned that they're number 13 now in the poll. So if you're seeing that ticker, that's just a little, just because of that. So that's what it is. They're number 13. Now they improved off of that game. And we saw, you know, some shakeup from Jenny Baranchek, something that doesn't really happen as she's changed the starting lineup. And Raina Scott got the nod over Nevaeh Tott in terms of the guard play. And that made OU a little bit bigger, a little bit more size. And maybe you're thinking that's kind of what they're looking for when they play LSU later this week, as you mentioned, Nick. It's going to be a really good matchup coming up. But it worked out overall. It worked out. Oklahoma has had its turnover issues. And while the starters and, you know, the reliable bench players were in when it wasn't garbage time, there were only 15 turnovers. And that's still a lot, but that's a very big improvement for this squad. I mean, 15 turnovers is a lot better than the 30 and the 28s they've been getting since SEC play and all that stuff started. So that was good to see. You know, Reagan Beers got out there again and had another double-double, like her eighth double-double this year. And it wasn't even a great game from her, which is what Baranchek said. Like, that just shows you the caliber of player that she is, that she can go out there and get a double-double like that. And you saw more aggressiveness from Sahara Williams, who scored 13 points, and that was a really good thing for her as well. Like, that's what Baranchek wanted to see, more athleticism, more, you know, push from her, because she was one of the players that was held scoreless against South Carolina last week. And I know they're at a turning point now. They were like, we got to have some changes. And the starting lineup changed. Sahara Williams got more aggressive. We saw Skylar Vann shoot the ball more, which is something that she hasn't been doing. She's been like, seems like she's been trying to be too good of a teammate this season. Yeah. She hasn't, you know, been as aggressive. And you saw her shoot the ball a little bit more. She made a couple of jumpers from the mid-range area. And so they were clicking all the way around. I mean, it was crazy. Even Liz Scott made a three-pointer. Like, it was one of those games where everything was going right. And if he was like, man, if this the team that showed up against South Carolina, you know, maybe it would look a lot more different than the 40-point loss it was. But they get this 30-point win over Georgia to kind of bounce back and really show they're heading in the right direction. So we'll see if it all can come together against LSU, who I think is number five still in the poll for right now.
Yeah, massive week. We'll, you know, this is one of those, like, we're going to learn a lot this week. Like you said, they go two LSUs in the top 10. LSU's 21-1 on the season. Obviously, Kim Mulkey, they got to go to Baton Rouge on Thursday night. And then Kentucky, who's also in the top 15, comes to Roman on Sunday. So this is a massive back-to-back. It's a massive week, and this is an opportunity to make some serious statements. We'll see what can happen. Obviously, they just had one of these against South Carolina. It didn't go well, so you would hopefully they learn from that. We'll see what they can put into Thursday night in Baton Rouge, and then obviously that big Kentucky game at home on Sunday. I might have to get out there for that. So a big week coming up, though. It's we're going to learn a lot more. Good, nice, tidy, took care of business against Georgia. But now back to huge games this week, and we'll see what they do. And, of course, James, with all the women's coverage over on the website all week long, all season long, Oklahoma247sports.com. I think that's it. I'll be back on Thursday with Colin to wrap up some other recruiting stuff. Junior Day weekend just happened, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there. Maybe look at the defensive coordinator search a little bit more as well, as that continues to roll on amazingly. So that'll be on Thursday with Colin. Keep an eye out for that. Of course, in the afternoon, usually shows come out at 4 o'clock in the afternoons on YouTube. We'll be back, the three of us, next Monday, continue our Positions Dashboard Series, final time on offense with the offensive line, other things in OU football, and, of course, wrapping up all the latest with basketball as well. So we'll see you then, Thursday with Colin, Monday back with us. That's it for now. Tom Green, James D. Jackson. I'm Josh Calloway. We'll see you next time right back here on the Sooners Illustrated podcast.
See you.